ابن اهل البيت الاشتراك صلوات على محمد وال محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وال محمد.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy because of his arrogance and his defiance. If we avoid this able to identify, to oppose, and to overcome Shaitan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We humbly turn to God and ask for His special grace and guidance, because He is the All Perfect One. Nobody can achieve any perfection until and unless Allah wills it so. And we turn to Him because He is Rahman, His Rahmah, His mercy, His love, His grace, His attention, His care. Reaches out to everything in the universe, brings it to life, sustains it, enables it to reach its goal of perfection. And we turn to Him because He is Rahim. His extra love, abundant grace, unending mercy, and unimaginable reward is available both here in the dunya and in the akhirah. But exclusively for those amongst us who believe in Him, and who submit to His will, and who live their lives according to His dictates, and who are willing to die if necessary for the cause. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin. And we send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, for which we had assembled to commemorate, has reached its crescendo, whereby the final confrontation between all the forces of evil to pressurize and to ensure that the righteous, the virtuous, the good people will subjugate and submit and surrender to evil, that confrontation has taken place and the evil forces have failed. They could not extract even one allegiance from any one of these virtuous, holy warriors. The Quran teaches us that the zalimeen, they've been given the freedom to make their choices in the dunya as a test. And Allah allows them to abuse the resources, the forces, the people, to exert their power. But it's all temporary. It's a matter of time before truth will prevail. So observe what the Quran says about the outcome of the zalimeen, because Ashura has laid down a principle based on the Quran, which was then proven over time that it comes out to be true, that the zalim cannot survive when it confronts with the truth. The zalim begins his downfall, his decline, and his final elimination himself. The whole empire of Bani Umayyah began to crumble after Ashura. But observe how it happened. In the Quran, Allah assures the believers that don't worry, don't think that those who do evil can get away with it. So for example, in Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, ayah number 42. Well, incidentally, this is the same consolation which was given in principle by Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the night of Ashura, on the day of Ashura, to the family. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهُ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Don't think that Allah is oblivious and unaware of the evil that is being perpetrated by the wrongdoers. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. But he doesn't punish them immediately. The wrongdoers will be allowed to do their wicked deeds. The good doers will be tested how they resist, and if necessary, how they give up and sacrifice their lives. Then the remaining will be tested, can they be awakened to their duty? And Karbala shows how this has happened. So number one, don't think Allah is not watching. Everything is going according to plan. Nobody can escape. Number two, in Surah Ankabut, chapter 29, Allah says, do these people who commit evil, do they think they can escape our punishment? أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَ. Do those who do evil think they can escape us? سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Evil and wrong and false is their supposition. The arrogance, the heedlessness with which the Bani Umayyah and their appointed agents committed this crime, the celebration, the rejoicing, all showed that they thought they could escape and nobody could do anything to them. And the Quran warns, Allah is watching, beware, you can't escape. Number two. Number three, the Quran goes one step ahead. It says that when these wrongdoers who cannot escape justice, when they will be brought to justice, they shall plead, please give us a second chance. We made a mistake. We thought we could get away, but now we've realized we've done wrong. Again, Surah Ibrahim, for example, chapter 14, ayah 44. وَأَنذِرِ النَّاسَ يَوْمَ يَأْتِيهِمُ الْعَذَابُ فَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رَبَّنَا أَخِّرْنَا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. O Prophet, warn them the day which is inescapable, where they shall meet justice. At that time, the wrongdoers, the zalimeen, will say, Lord, please delay and prolong our life here on earth. نُجِبْ دَعْوَتَكَ. We will now reform, we'll turn back to the truth. وَنَتَّبِعْ الرُّسُلْ. We shall follow the messengers. And the Quran says, أَوَلَمْ تَكُونُوا أَقْسَمْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ زَوَالٍ. But you were proudly and arrogantly claiming and pronouncing to everyone that you could escape. You could do your evil and nobody could catch you. So, don't think God is not watching. It is inescapable. They can't escape. In fact, when they're caught, they will request for respite, which will not be granted. Number four, the Quran says, no, you should look at their pathetic state when they will ask to escape by all means possible. So in Surah Yunus, Allah expresses the way in which they will want to escape. Surah Yunus, chapter 10, ayah 54. وَلَوْ أَنَّ لِكُلِّ نَفْسٍ ظَلَمَتْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لَفْتَدَتْ. If every soul that did dhulm, when it is arrested and it is caught and when it faces retribution, in order to escape, it will be ready to pay ransom. As much as they can possess and acquire. In fact, if you give them the whole of the earth, they would want to escape. This is Surah Yunus. In Surah Zumar, Allah says, وَلَوْ كَانَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. And if they had everything on the earth, and then a double time, everything else on the earth, they would want to ransom, but they can't escape. In Surah Ma'arij, chapter 70, ayah number 11 says, they would want to escape not with everything on the earth only, even with their closest ones, they would want to sacrifice them. يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. He would want to ransom his children, his partner, his brother, his tribe, everyone on the earth, everything, and every person on the earth should be sacrificed so that he can escape the retribution. So, don't think Allah is not watching. Once it arrives, you can't escape. You will want to escape with everything to be ransomed on the earth, with everyone on the earth. In fact, Allah then goes one step ahead. In Surah Ibrahim, once again, in chapter 14, ayah number 49, Allah says, in fact, they will be chained. They will be chained in their necks. They will be chained throughout their body. مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ The chains will be so tight they can't move. Not only that, in fact, سَرَابِيلُهُمْ مِنْ قَطِرَانِ There will be a sticky, fiery, burning substance that will stick to their skin. That is the closest punishment can get to them, and they can't escape that. Beyond that, Allah says that, as in Surah Humazah, إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدًا فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدًا They shall be enclosed, and the fire columns will be so huge they can't leap out beyond. No, the punishment will not only be from without to within. It's the same surah, Humazah, Allah says, the punishment will be from within to without. إِنَّهَا تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ The fire shall begin to burn them from within, their very consciousness and their very thoughts and their very feelings and their very beliefs that they had nurtured and cherished and accepted as part of their being. Those very entities will acquire some reality which will burn them from right inside their core. There's no way you can escape this sort of punishment. In fact, Allah goes one step ahead. In Surah Fajr, Allah says, فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٌ وَلَا يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٌ On that day, on the day of judgment, nobody will be able to chain and to punish and to restrain the way Allah does it, and nobody will be able to punish anyone in the manner in which Allah does it. And finally, in Surah Naba', Allah says, these people will plead, please give us a respite in Jahannam. Reduce the flames and reduce the burning. And Allah will say, ذُوقُوا taste it, فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا Oh, we will increase, but we'll increase nothing but punishment for you. That's the ultimate. The most merciful, ultimately loving Lord now has reached a point where He tells this creature, that first of all, don't talk to me. Just shut up. Keep quiet. I'm not ready to listen to you. I talked to you so many times in the dunya. I sent prophets, I sent messengers, I sent good people, I tested you. Different situations in life should have awoken you. My signs were there everywhere. History was a test for you. I sent so many signs. I kept on talking to you, but you kept on ignoring me. And you kept on doing evil, and I gave you respite. You kept on doing evil, and I punished you temporarily, so you should wake up. But you kept on persisting, and your scope of evil and your depth of evil kept on spreading till you have reached a point now that you are irreparably damaged. Now whatever respite you ask, or whatever attempt you make to ask for forgiveness, it shall be rejected. So the Quran is very clear about the outcome of the zalimeen. So Ashura, after the horrendous crime was committed, Bani Umayyah was defeated already. But this defeat manifested itself in stages. So observe what happens now. The barbarity and the brutality with which this crime was committed gradually began to spread. The amazing thing about the family of Imam Hussein alayhis salam that came with Imam is that they managed to spread this message throughout a vast region in the Muslim world. Imam Hussein alayhi salam had already spread his message in Medina, and then in Makkah, where he got contact with so many people from all parts of the Muslim world, and then on his passage from Makkah till Kufa, all the people that he met on the way, and then in Karbala, all the Kufans that he faced. But subsequently, this caravan of prisoners from Karbala to Kufa and from Kufa to Sham. This is a wide swath of the Muslim world. And they managed to expose the dhulm and the oppression of the Bani Umayyah. The dhulm, which was probably hidden in pockets, people didn't know in different parts of the empire what is happening. So once the brutality and the oppression was exposed, obviously their aim, the Bani Umayyah's aim, was to show the rest of the Muslim world, don't you dare oppose us, otherwise we will eliminate you. And we don't care who you are, even if you're the grandson of the Prophet, we will eliminate you. That was their aim. And they rejoiced. They celebrated. They drank. When Ibn Ziyad was called to the court of Yazid, wine was flowing. And they danced. At the same time, they captured and they shackled, and then they paraded the Ahlul Bayt as prisoners of war, and they whipped them and they lashed them and they put heads on the spears, and the humiliation of striking at the face of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the beheaded head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They did all that to intimidate and give a very clear lesson: don't anyone rebel against our power. And they thought they were consolidating their power, whereas in fact they were loosening their grip now. But what they didn't realize is, in their joy and their celebration, they were exposing their true colors. Yazid, when he comes out and says that, يَوْمٌ بِيَوْمِ بَدْرٍ, this is the revenge that we are taking for the defeat that the Bani Umayyah suffered when they were kafirs against the Prophet in Badr. Or what Yazid had said, لَعِبَتْ هَاشِمُ بِالْمُلْكِ فَلَا خَبَرٌ جَاءَ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَزَلْ. It's all a game. Bani Hashim pretended that there is an angel, and then there is a message, and then there is a God. It's all a game to seek power by the Bani Hashim. لَيْتَ أَشْيَاخِ بِبَدْرٍ شَهِدُوا جَزَعَ الْخَزْرَجُ مِنْ وَقْعِ الْأَسَلِ. Oh, I wish my elders of the Bani Umayyah at the time of Badr were alive to see today how I have humiliated the Khazraj. The Khazraj and the Aus were the Medina tribes that came to support the Prophet. لَأَهَلُّ وَاسْتَهَلُّ فَرَحًا وَلَقَالُوا يَا يَزِيد لَا تَشَلْ. I'm sure they would come and congratulate me and rejoice and tell me, Yazid, well done. فَجَزَيْنَاهُ بِبَدْرٍ مَثَلًا وَأَقَمْنَا مِثْلَ الْبَدْرِ فَاَعْتَدَلْ. We have equalized what they inflicted on us as a defeat in Badr. We've inflicted a defeat on them in Karbala. لَسْتُ مِنْ خِنْدِفٍ إِنْ لَمْ أَنْتَقِمْ مِنْ بَنِي أَحْمَدَ مَا كَانَ فَعَلْ. I swear I'm not a true Quraysh if I don't avenge the defeat of Badr. Badr was a time when, for the first time, the victory of God showed itself for a small group of people against a huge number of people well equipped. Badr was a time when the Muslims were surviving with just one animal, with a few arrows or swords, and they were surviving on one piece of date, for God's sake. It was a stupendous victory for the Muslims and a terrible defeat for Bani Umayyah and the kafir. And now we have a Muslim Khalifa claiming that what happened was a defeat which had to be avenged. But you can't blame Yazid alone. Something was hidden with Muawiyah also, but the outside world did not know. For example, one of his close friends, Mughayra bin Shu'bah. His son Mutrif says, I often used to accompany my father Mughayra when we used to go and meet Muawiyah. On one occasion, my father came back after meeting Muawiyah, and usually my father would be very much impressed with Muawiyah. Muawiyah is so clever. But one night he came back very sad. So I said, what's wrong? Have you lost some favors? Initially he kept quiet, then he told me, you know, I've come back from min akhbathin nas, from the most khabith and evil of the people. So Mutrif said, what do you mean? He says, you know what, I told Muawiyah, listen, you're getting old now. Why don't you stop all this propaganda and this agenda and vendetta against the Bani Hashim. Settle the scores now. You're already in power. They can't challenge you anymore. And Muawiyah suddenly erupted. He told me, "Hayhat! That will never happen." I said, "But what's wrong?" He says, look at all those who came to power. The first Khalifa and the second Khalifa and the third Khalifa. What do we have from them today? Nothing. But look at the Bani Hashim. Look at the way they have elevated themselves into power. The Bani Hashim yusahu bihi fi kulli yawmin khams marrat. 5 times they put their names. Here in my palace next door there's a mosque, and from the adhan I hear every day 5 times, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Oh, Muawiyah is disturbed by this fact. Ayyu amalin yabqa ba'da hadha. There's nothing me or anyone else can do to perpetuate their memories. The way these people have put their memory permanent in the Muslim psyche. La umma lak. What are you telling me about reconciliation with the Bani Hashim? La wallah illa dafnan dafna. They have to be buried forever. Oh, there was a hidden agenda to eliminate Islam. But people didn't know, because there was a facade and there was an appearance. It is this captivity, it is this Karbala, it's this Ashura which begins to expose the true colors of Muawiyah and his misdeeds. Muawiyah, the one who clearly came and addressed the people of Medina after the peace treaty with Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and he says, "Listen, ma qataltukum, wallahi, ma qataltukum litusallu, wala li tahijju, wala li tasumu, wala li tuzakku." Well, you're already doing salat and zakat and psalm and hajj. I didn't come to fight with Hassan for the purpose of implementing and executing the laws of the Sharia. You were already practicing the Sharia. لكني قاتلتكم لأتأمر عليكم. I wanted to become your Amir. I sought power for my purpose. He clearly says that. He must have said it when he was very proud of his achievement. But what he didn't realize was, he's declaring his animosity with the Islamic teachings. The fact that now that you're in power, all right, so appoint the righteous people. All those people who had been disqualified, who had been exiled, who had been expelled, who had been removed from any honorable, responsible position in the society by the Prophet. Now suddenly they are being called from the fringes and they are being restored, their honor is being restored, and they are being given power over the Muslims. Amr ibn As, the one whose father, for whom this ayah, Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar, was revealed for him. And now suddenly he is being restored to power. Ziyad bin Abi, an illegitimate son. We don't even know his background. He is restored. Mughayra bin Shu'bah, who is known amongst the Arabs as the most cunning and the slyest person, restored to power. Samura bin Jundab, no more ruthless than him, a governor. Amazing group of evil people brought to power. On the cultural scene, Muawiyah's plan to systematically remove the Islamic teachings. You can read the Quran, but no tafsir. Tafsir which will then favor how the Quran's teachings apply to, let's say, the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Make the recite, but no tafsir, no hadith, please. And don't challenge us. Culturally chain people's mind and thinking. We are here because God has willed it so. Everything happens by God's will. Accept God's will silently. Don't protest. So the school of thought of compulsion, everything is destined and you can't challenge that. It was promoted by Muawiyah to enforce his hold on power. No discussion or distribution or propagation of the merits of Imam Ali. In fact, fabricate hadith against the merits of Imam Ali. In fact, institute the culture of, God forbid, abusing Imam Ali officially on the minbar. So systematically steps were being taken gradually to eliminate the Islamic teachings. Eliminate people who oppose you. Imam Hassan alayhi salam quietly poisoned. Those who resisted and protested, violently and brutally murdered. So Hujr bin Uday, Amr bin Hamiq, Imam Hussein alayhi salam in his khutbah in Mina 2 years before the demise of Muawiyah tells the elders of the Muslim world, that how can you keep silent when righteous people like Amr bin Hamiq al-Khuza'i and Hujr bin Uday have been eliminated by Muawiyah and there's nobody to protest? Economic deprivation as a tool to silence people. Innovations introduced against the Sharia, wine drinking and riba, and no implementation of the hudud. And finally, the imposition of Yazid. So gradually, systematically, Bani Umayyah and especially Muawiyah took steps to eliminate true Islam from the Muslim world. But it was happening slowly, and people were being silenced not to protest. So Ashura suddenly becomes a force to awaken people, no, to embolden people to now rise up and say no. That's the master achievement of Ashura. The encouragement. Encouragement is a very light word, but actually if encouragement means to give you courage, to embolden you to stand up against evil, that's the primary achievement of Ashura. And therefore, when Ibrahim bin Talha asks Imam Zainul Abidin mockingly, so you're a captured prisoner of war, tell us, man ghalab, tell us who is victorious, aren't we Bani Umayyah victorious? And Imam alayhi salam says, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْلَمَ مَنْ غَلَبْ وَدَخَلَ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ فَأَذِّنْ وَأَقِمْ. You want to know who is victorious? Just wait for the time of salah. Then you go and make adhan and you make iqama, and then you tell us who is victorious. Had it not been for Ashura, after what Yazid openly said to the head of Imam Hussein, and after what Muawiyah privately said to Mughayra bin Shu'bah, it's not surprising, gradually even adhan and iqama would have been eliminated. Or it would have been emptied and eviscerated from its true spirit. So, the fundamental achievement, and that is the protection of the true teachings of Islam, was the primary achievement of Ashura. Subsequently then, now we begin to see, gradually, step by step, person by person, group by group, and then huge armies begin their resistance against Bani Umayyah. So for example, once the news spreads of the brutal and ruthless massacre of Karbala, and people now begin to realize Yazid's deception, or Yazid didn't win because of his good character. Muslims didn't like him, but he was imposed on them. And now suddenly they found a role model of how to resist. And that also, they discovered that Imam Hussein, forget all the other elders, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not an ordinary person. Every Muslim respects Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It's just that they're not bold enough to want to have gone out and come and supported him. Plus this mastermind of the plan, master plan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to take these bold steps such that he could not be silently eliminated. He couldn't be silently poisoned like Imam Hassan alayhi salam, or secretly killed like Amr ibn Hamiq al-Khuza'i or Hujr bin Uday. The fact that he came out in the open in front of tens of thousands of people, and he confronted and he proved his point. He proved his point, hayhata minna dhilla, I will never ever submit to evil. He proved his point that inni la ara al-maut illa sa'ada, for me life with indignity is definitely not preferable compared to death with dignity. Wal-hayata ma'a al-zalimina illa barama, for me life with the oppressed is a misery. For me, death with dignity is definitely preferable. Or his battle cry, Al-Maut awla min rukub al-aar, for me to die is more dignified than to live a life of subjugation to evil. Or that of his son, Wallahi la yahkumu fina ibn al-da'i, I swear by God will not rule over us these unqualified, illegitimate sons. Or the final statement in his khutbah on the day of Ashura. وَاللَّهُ لَا أُعْطِيكُمْ بِيَدِي إِعْطَاءَ الذَّلِيلِ وَلَا أَفِرُّ مِنْكُمْ فِرَارَ الْعَبِيدِ. I swear I will not surrender to you, humiliated and disgraced. These are expressions from the bottom of their heart of the strong belief of what is true and the readiness to sacrifice for the truth. So all these realities, once they become exposed and they spread, they begin to embolden. Forget about Kufa. It began right in Karbala. That lady who was in the camp of Umar ibn Sa'd and who saw this atrocity being committed against the ladies of the Ahlul Bayt, she took up a sword and she ran out and she cried, Ya Rijala Bakr bin Wa'il, all the tribesmen of Bakr bin Wa'il, these are Banat Rasulillah. Can you stand silent and just observe? La hukma illa lillah. We should only obey God, not obey these evil ones. Ya li tharati Rasulillah. Who is there to come and avenge and defend the daughters of the Prophet? That was a bold statement being made by this woman. Where did she get all this boldness? Right a few hours after Ashura. Number one. Number two. Individuals begin to now rise up. Abdullah bin Afif al-Azdi, blind man, loyal adherent of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. He lost his left eye in the battle of Jamal. He lost his right eye in the battle of Siffin. When the heads were severed in Karbala, and quickly they were transported to Kufa immediately the next day. So Ibn Ziyad comes out in the mosque and proudly announces his victory. Alhamdulillah alladhi adhara al-haqq wa ahlahu. We should thank God that He has allowed truth to be victorious. Nasara Amir al-Mu'min wa ashya'ahu. Amir al-Mu'min has been helped, Yazid that is, and his followers. Wa qatala al-kadhaba ibn al-kadhab. And the liar, the son of the liar, has been eliminated, referring to, God forbid, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the Kufans are silent. But not Abdullah bin Afif al-Azdi. An old man, blinded. But because of his blindness, he couldn't come to Karbala. He stands up. Oh, incidentally, Ubaidullah bin Ziyad proudly announces this, the implicit message being, don't you dare stand up. Otherwise, this is the same result that you're going to face. Abdullah ibn Afif al-Azdi stands up and he says that Ya ibn Marjana Inna al-Kadhab ibn al-Kadhab Anta Abu. Otherwise this is the same
liar, son of the liar is you. Abdullah, oh, son of Marjana.
Azdi stands up.
Was, you know, an honored man, the Amir, the governor.
Ya ibn Marjana Inna al-Kadhab ibn al-Kadhab Anta Abu. Otherwise this is the same
liar, son of the liar is you. Oh, son of Marjana,
you go and kill the family of the Prophet, and this is how you speak in front of us. Ibn Ziyad became infuriated. He never expected someone to dare put his neck up against him. And he was an old man. Where does he get his strength from? Man hadha? Who is this? Abdullah says, Ana al-mutakallim. I am the one. Ya adu Allah. Taqtulu al-dhurriya al-tahira. Allati adhaballahu anhumu rijs. Allah has purified them from all sorts of impurities, be it in their behavior or sinful acts, be it in their character, be it in their thoughts. These are totally purified and chosen by God. And this is how you've treated them. تَزْعُمُ عَنَّكَ عَلَى دِينَ الْإِسْلَامِ. You claim to be a Muslim? Oh. وَغَوْثَاهُ أَيْنَ أَوْلَادُ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. Where are the true helpers of the Prophet? Where are the migrants? Where are the children of these people, of these forefathers? لَا يَنْتَقِمُونَ مِنْ طَاغِيَتِكَ اللَّعِينَ ابْنَ اللَّعِينَ. Who don't come and seek revenge from this accursed man. Oh, Ibn Ziyad's veins are bursting in rage now. And he says, bring him to me immediately. So the goons go and arrest him. But Abdullah bin Afif is from the tribe of Al-Azdi. The Azdi tribe comes and defends him. So they take him away and he goes back home. But no, Ibn Ziyad sends his army. And unfortunately they come and arrest Abdullah bin Afif. Go to this blind man's home and arrest him and bring him to me. So they bring him. There is a fight, but the forces of Ibn Ziyad overpower. And they enter the house. His daughter warns him that they have come. I fear for you. And he says, La alayki, don't fear. Na wilini sayfi, give me my sword. But you're blind. Tell me where is the enemy. I'll attack him. I'll defend myself. And he fought. Amazing. Look at the battle cry. Ana ibn zil fadli afifu tahiri afifu shaykhi wa ibn ummi amiri kam dari'in min jam'ikum wa hasiri wa batalun jadaltuhu mughadiri. If you don't know me, who I am from the family of Afif, the pure one. If you don't know me, I'm the one who has fought in different battles, and when any combatant came before me, he fled because of my courage and power. I'm not going to be intimidated by you, blind man. But he couldn't tolerate this insult to Islam. Where does he get all this from? Obviously the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Not only this woman in Karbala, not only this man, Ibn Abbas, Yazid, in the second year of his rule, he faces resistance from Makkah. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam migrated from Medina to Makkah, it was him, Abdullah, and Abdullah bin Zubair. Abdullah ibn Zubair was overshadowed and eclipsed by the presence of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Makkah. But once Imam is killed in Karbala, his little star begins to shine. So he comes to Ibn Abbas and asks for bay'ah. And Ibn Abbas refuses to make bay'ah. So Yazid immediately sends a letter of congratulations to Ibn Abbas. He says, Abdullah bin Zubair, I heard, asked you to obey him. And Abdullah bin Zubair is in the batil, and he's a partner of sin. But thank God you saved yourself and you are in our bay'ah. May God bless you. I'll never forget this act of a favor and sila rahim. We are relatives, you know. So please continue your action of defending me. And in case people come to you, do advocate for me against this infidel, this liar, this rebel, referring to Abdullah bin Zubair. Oh, Ibn Abbas doesn't use a sword, but sometimes the pen is mightier than the sword. The letter he replies back to Yazid is filled with resistance to oppression. I never wanted the sila rahim that you're offering me. God knows my true intention. When I refuse to make bay'ah to Abdullah bin Zubair, wait a minute, hold back your sila rahim. I'm not interested. I will never help you. I never have love for you. Well, you don't talk to a tyrant like that. By God, what have you given us? You have given us always the very least, and you've taken from us the most. You expect me to invite people to you? Oh, for me, this is a great dishonor and disgraceful act. You are asking for my help, and you have already killed those people whom I considered as the lamp of guidance, as the stars of guidance. And you then, and your army then abandoned them in Karbala to be attacked by animals. What happened was, the army of Ibn Sa'ad came and buried their own dead, and they just left the slain of Imam Hussein's army. Unlike what the Prophet did in Badr, after burying his own shuhada, he went and dug a pit and buried the kuffar. Your army abandoned my family. I can't forget what you have done to Imam Hussein. You expelled him from the haram of the Prophet. You expelled him from the haram of God. And then you trapped him. And you showed your full enmity to God and the Prophet. And to Ahlul Bayt in Karbala. Those who have been purified by God. And now you expect me to follow you, you who come from a family of ignorant and arrogant forefathers. And besides, Imam Hussein a.s. did make a request for truce, but you forced a confrontation against him. You mistreated him in a manner which even our enemies of Muslims are not mistreated like that. I'm not surprised. I'm very much surprised. In fact, now you come and request me to support you, to help you, to show you love when your sword is dripping with the blood of my family. Oh, I have to seek revenge from you, not to help you. By God, I will try to do that as soon as possible. This is Ibn Abbas. And if God hasn't willed that in this dunya, I will manage to succeed, to seek revenge. I have full hope in God's revenge on the day of judgment. And the most surprising thing, Yazid, what you have done. You have paraded our ladies just to show that you are victorious. By God, you are safe from my sword, but you are not safe from my tongue. I pray you die in a disgraced manner. This is Ashura. These letters were not there before Karbala. These are all after Karbala. So other than these individual uprisings, then there were these collective uprisings. In the second year of Hijrah, Medina makes an uprising. In the second year of Yazid's rule. In the third year of Yazid's rule, Makkah makes an uprising. Later on, after his death, there's the rising of the Tawabin, and finally the rise of Mukhtar, which then avenges the blood. But notice all of them inspired by Karbala. So, for example, Harra. Harra is a neighborhood in Medina. In the year 63 AH, in the month of Dhul Hajjah, led by Abdullah bin Hanzala, they led a rebellion against the governor of Bani Umayyah. Basically, the governor wanted to impress that Yazid is the righteous Khalifa, so he chose a delegation and sent them to Sham so that they could be filled, they could be given money, and they come back impressed and therefore silent. Yet when they came back, they reported back to the people of Medina, "We've come back from a ruler, قَدِمْنَا مِنْ عِنْدِ رَجُلٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ دِينٍ يَشْرِبِ الْخَمْرَ يَضْرِبِ الطَّنَابِيرِ." He plays music, he drinks openly, he's got no sexual discretion. In fact, خِفْنَا أَنْ نُرْمَ بِالْحِجَارَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. In his presence, we were afraid that any time punishment would descend. In respect and in confidence of these people's report, the people of Medina, because they were unhappy anyway with the Bani Umayyah and the governors, they make this uprising. But what is it that emboldens them now and not before Ashura? Notice what happens when this caravan of the captives returns back to Medina. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam tells the guide, "I heard your father was a very good poet. I hope you're a good poet. Why don't you enter Medina and arouse people's emotions about our arrival?" So he goes back, Bashir bin Hadlam. "Ya ahla Yathrib la muqama lakum, qutila al-Husaynu fadmu'i midraru." All the people of Medina, there is no safe place for you now to sit quiet. You should grieve and you should have rivers of tears flowing because now Hussein's family has come back. So maybe you, Abdullah bin Ja'far, and maybe some members of Bani Hashim should come out in sympathy and in grief. No, no. All the ladies came out, hair open, face open, slapping their face, grief, sorrow, sadness. What did happen? This is the same Medina where Imam Hussein alayhi salam just 1 year ago left and you didn't do anything. And now suddenly there's a change? Where is the inspiration from? Where is the encouragement? Where is the emboldening from? Ashura. And therefore Harra, Medina's uprising. Or the Makkah uprising. Why should Abdullah bin Zubair declare and have supporters to come and follow him against Bani Umayyah? So Abdullah bin Zubair comes and talks to his followers and supporters in Mecca. He tells them that the Iraqis were evil, and especially the Kufans, they betrayed, they were treacherous. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam did go to them, they forced him to surrender to Ziyad bin Abi No, Ziyad bin Sumayya. Again, a degradatory way of referring to Ziyad. Or either surrender or die. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam preferred death with dignity. May Allah bless Imam Hussein. May Allah curse the killers. This is Ibn Zubayr trying to arouse and motivate people in rebellion. We can't trust such people who betrayed Imam Hussein alayhi salam. By God, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now notice the comparison. By God, Imam Hussein alayhi salam did not substitute the recitation of Quran with singing. That's what Yazid has done. Music for tears. These people cried out of fear of God. These people are just playing music. He did not substitute fasting for wine drinking. He did not substitute hunting for the gatherings of dhikr. Everything which was holy and righteous and virtuous was substituted for everything which was evil by Yazid. Soon they will perish, Bani Umayyah is referring to. And the followers were impressed and they made bay'ah. They made bay'ah. Later on, after the death of Yazid, the whole of Hijaz makes bay'ah. Basra makes bay'ah. Kufa makes bay'ah to Ibn Zubayr. Where does this, all this encouragement and emboldenment of resistance to oppression come from? Even when the leader is not righteous. Ibn Zubayr was not accepted as a totally righteous leader because Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam did not give support to him. And despite Yazid's attempt to quash it, it failed. But finally, during the time of Hajjaj, he is defeated in 73 AH. Conclusion. There is no way, no way, a body which has been created by God to lead a healthy life. You eat something poisonous, but that the body is made in such a way that you'll vomit and you'll have diarrhea. It'll spit it out and expel it out. That's the natural forces Allah has created in this little body. In the great body of the universe, the physical forces have been created, the laws have been created in such a way, you violate it, you oppose it, and the system is going to work to make sure you're spitted out and you're expelled. But it doesn't happen spontaneously and automatically. It happens through awareness, alertness, right choices, the resistance to oppression. That awareness was built up gradually. And it all began with Karbala and Ashura. No, what we saw immediately in Ashura, and then after that in Kufa, and then Medina, and then Makkah, and then the Tawabin, and then Mukhtar. This is just the beginning. It's still continuing. This resistance to oppression will finally culminate in that ultimate battle of confrontation between all the forces of good versus all the forces of evil. And that's why every time we must commemorate and keep this memory fresh and alive. And every time we must say, أَعْظَمَ اللَّهُ أُجُورَنَا وَأُجُورَكُمْ بِمُصَابِنَا بِالْحُسَيْنِ. May Allah always increase our reward and give us the inspiration to commemorate. وَجَعَلَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنَ الطَّالِبِينَ بِثَارِهِ. May Allah inspire us to become the defenders of truth. But all these positive achievements were later on. Immediately on the day of Ashura, once the bodies of the slain warriors were trampled upon, and they were left all alone, Ibn Sa'd comes and buries his own army. But obviously the bodies of Imam Hussein and that of his followers were left unburied. The next day on the 11th, when Ibn Sa'd's army leaves to go to Kufa, the Bani Asad tribe, which was just in a nearby locality known as Ghadiriyya, they come over and one by one body is prepared for burial. A shaheed is not required to be given ghusl. He's buried in his clothing. They were buried, according to some riwayat, nobody can bury an imam but the next imam. So we are told that Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam by miracle appeared and was present on the next day at the time of the burial to guide the Bani Asad in the burial process. Finally, as the caravan has to leave Karbala the next day on the 11th, they are made to pass by the slain bodies who are yet unburied. What a ghastly scene it must have been for the ladies. Here are their relatives, the brothers, the fathers, the uncles, the sons, all in a bloody form, trampled, no heads on the body, all exposed to the elements of nature, dust and wind and heat of the sun. And so they cried out aloud. The holy lady Zainab cried out, Wa Muhammada, Salla alayk Malikus Sama, O Muhammad, O Prophet, come and see what has happened, what your ummah has done. Hada Husaynun bil Ara, this is Hussein out in the open, Murammalun bil Dima, his body is full of blood, Muqatta'ul A'adha, he has been chopped up, Banatuka Sabaya, and your daughters have been taken captive. إِلَى mushtaka. What do? We ask for assistance and help and support, but there is no Muslim here. We take our complaint and prayer to God. وَإِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ الْمُصْطَفَى وَعَلِيٍّ الْمُرْتَضَى وَفَاطِمَةِ الزَّهْرَى وَحَمْزَةِ سَيِّدِ الشُّهَدَى وَحُزْنَى وَكُرْبَى. Oh, what a great affliction, what a great sorrow. هَؤُلَاءِ ذُرِّيَّةُ الْمُصْطَفَى يُسَاقُونَ سَوْقَ السَّبَايَا. These are the daughters of the Prophet now being treated as captives. بِأَبِي مِن نَفْسِ لَهُ الْفِدَى. May my soul be ransomed and sacrificed. We are leaving Hussein behind. بِأَبِي الْعَطْشَانَ حَتَّى مَضَى. The one who remained hungry and gave up everything and thirsty till the end. بِأَبِي مِن شَيْبَتِهِ تَقْطُرُ بِالدِّمَاءِ. May we be sacrificed, the Holy Lady Zainab says, for Imam Hussein, the one whose beard was dripping with his blood. This is the way he's going to meet his grandfather. This is what his ummah has done to him. And everyone else who heard these lamentations cried. And finally she took the strength to go to the body and lift it up and raise it and said, إِلَهِ تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا هَذَا الْقُرْبَانِ. O Allah, this is the ultimate that we can offer you in sacrifice. Zahr bin Qais was instructed to make the caravan move and the ladies had to be separated and detached forcibly from their relatives. He came and started using whips and lashes on them. They started crying out, wa jaddah, wa abatah, wa aliyah, wa qillata nasirah, wa hasanah, ama min mujirin yujiruna. Is there no one who has any sympathy and compassion for us? And they were forcibly separated and mounted on camels with minimum facilities, minimum cover from heat and cold or dust, constantly being jabbed with spears and with whips. And Imam, the 12th Holy Imam, remembers this scene and says, Salam be on you, O Imam Hussein. Subiya ahluka kal abid, suffidu bil hadid. Your family was taken captives just like slaves. They were chained in iron. Fawqa aqtabil matiyat, talfah wujuhahum harral hajirat. They were made to sit on difficult saddles. They were exposed to the elements. Yusaquna fil barari wal falawat, aydihim maghloola ila al a'naq, yutafu bihim fil aswaq, falwailu lil usati wal fusaq. And now they were paraded with open faces in front of all strangers. Assalamu alayk ya Aba Abdullah, وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم منا جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقينا وبقي الليل والنهار يا حسين.